The United States yesterday seized two oil tankers linked to Venezuelan exports, including a Russian-flagged vessel which was boarded in international waters in the North Atlantic. This comes just 5 days after the US capture of Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro and 24 hours after the White House said it could use military force to, as it puts it, acquire Greenland. So, is any of this legal? Well, our next guest is one of the world's leading human rights lawyers and international law expert, Professor Philippe Sands. And Philippe, you're very welcome and thank you for joining us. Lots to discuss. We might start with Venezuela, and most European countries have failed to call out US action there as illegal. Was it illegal, do you think?
It was, firstly, very nice to be with you. It was manifestly illegal. I mean, there are rules on international law on respecting the sovereignty of countries. There are rules on international law on not using force except in self-defense. Those have been manifestly violated. And, of course, the idea that one country can accord to itself the right to take over the natural resources, oil in Venezuela, of another country is strictly prohibited. So there's just no doubt, I think, in the international law community, very broadly, that this crosses the line into illegality.
The argument from the US, of course, is that this was a surgical law enforcement operation because they say Maduro was charged with drug trafficking and terrorism offences in the US. They say also there was historical precedent. They point to, for example, when the US invaded Panama in 1989 to address Manuel Noriega, also on drug traffic indictments.
Well, I think countries take a pretty clear view that going into another country, abducting a person and taking them back to your own country to put them on trial is generally not permissible under international law. I mean, it's easily tested. Can you imagine if there was an operation in which an Irish national was seized in the centre of Dublin, transported to New York and put on trial? There would be outrage. It's not how things work. There are extradition agreements. There are other arrangements that are in place for dealing with this kind of situation. So it's just very problematic, all of this, in terms of, you know, offering options to other countries as to how to proceed. It's lawlessness.
And as you say, there hasn't really been outrage, has there? But on the other hand, you have Europe very reliant on the US currently to shore up Ukraine's defence against Russia. So perhaps you can understand the reluctance to speak out against Donald Trump's actions in Venezuela. But does that embolden him then, do you think, or indeed embolden other countries?
Well, he certainly gives the impression that he's emboldened. He's you may have watched, as I did, the interview he gave on board Air Force One. He said it's been a terrific operation. Maybe Cuba next, maybe Colombia. Why not Mexico? Why not Greenland? I mean, again, for your listeners, just imagine the situation. What are we going to do if the United States decides that it's simply going to send troops onto Greenland and take over that territory? Do we just acquiesce? Do we do nothing? I mean, this is a completely new space we have entered into in terms of the Western alliance, in terms of respect for international rules that were put in place in 1945. And I think what's happening is that the silence, the relative silence of most countries, including, for example, the United Kingdom, is born out of a sense of fear that if somehow you speak out against this, you will be the next on his hit list. Mm. And that's very, very problematic.
But is that fear justified, do you think?
Well, it may be justified in the sense that he has now shown himself to be willing to take steps that were previously unimaginable. I mean, he has not excluded, when put bluntly the question, do you exclude using force to acquire the area of Greenland? He said no. So I think leaders are right to tread carefully. On the other hand, it's exactly in these kinds of times that you've got to stick to your principles and your values, and you've got to stick together in terms of the direction that you take. But it's a pretty dangerous time.
Can I ask you about what happened yesterday then, the US seizing this Russian-flagged oil tanker in the Atlantic Ocean? Russia has described it as an act of piracy, and they say it was illegal under international maritime law. Are they right?
Look, we don't know exactly all of the facts. I don't know what this boat was and was not doing, what it is and is not carrying. But just on the face of the limited information we've got, it does seem very problematic of one country interfering with the passage of another boat on waters which may or not be high seas or the exclusive economic zone of another country, not so far, in fact, from Ireland. I'm pretty troubled, I've got to say, by the reports and the confirmation that the United Kingdom was involved, because if this is in relation to oil being carried to or from Venezuela, the takeover by the United States, the claim that it now controls Venezuela's oil assets, is problematic, as I said, unlawful under international law. Is the United Kingdom participating in that? And if it is, does that open the UK to the charge that it's complicit in this international illegality? I mean, we're on the cusp of a very, very dangerous period right now.
Can I ask you finally, Philippe Sands, if it is proven the US has broken international law, whether it's in Venezuela or in the operation yesterday or indeed elsewhere, what or who can hold them accountable?
Well, for the time being, accountability is a real problem. But of course, we don't know how these things pan out over time. My latest book is about Augusto Pinochet, the former head of state of Chile. He thought he was absolutely safe until he travelled to London in 1998 and suddenly found himself caught up in justice proceedings. So I'd say right at this moment, the idea of accountability against Mr. Trump or the United States is pretty limited. But over time, who knows which way it pans out? Who knows?
Professor Philippe Sands, thank you very much for joining us in the programme this morning.